Father, in the name of Jesus, as always, we thank you. When we gather together like this, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. And even now, O Lord, open our ears to hear and our eyes to see and our hearts to understand what the Spirit is saying to us at this time, to build confidence in our hearts. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are in perilous times. There's all kinds of things that's going on. Men's hearts failing them. The scripture says, the devil is raging. Say he's furious. Woe unto them, the Bible says, those that are on the earth. But the enemy has come down, knowing that he has a short time, furious and everything. But the enemy is not the only one that's got game. Oh, yes. If you want to put it that way, God's got game. He's got some angels assigned to do certain things, and we're going to talk about it today. Praise the Lord. Angels on assignments. They have their orders. I want us to pay attention to today's lessons. Angels are God's messengers. An angel is a messenger. They are also called ministering spirits. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, it describes the ministry of angels. The entire book of Hebrews, the very first few chapters are comparing Jesus and something. See that comparing Jesus and Moses, Jesus and angels, Jesus and high priests, Jesus's ministry and the, covenant that he brought and the other older covenant and so on, comparing one thing or the other. Well, whereas Jesus has his ministry that's well understood, by many of us, I had that ministry of, reconciliation to bring us back to God and to pay, the ransom for our sins and to introduce the kingdom of God, to us and so on and so forth. Well, the ministry of angels are not as well understood. Let's dig into it a little bit today. Hebrews chapter 1, it was talking about God speaking concerning Jesus, and then he compared the angels. He said, Jesus Christ is so much better than the angels. Let me just read it to you from verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake unto the fathers in time past by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So we see that Christ will inherit all things, and he will, share all things with us. We've been talking about that the last few days. Now, who being, this is Christ, the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person. You want to see what God looks like? Well, look like Christ. When you look at Christ, you'll see what God looks like. And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels. He's comparing the angels here. And he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than all the angels put together. Now, here's a question. For unto which of the angels said God at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, and let all the angels of God worship him. See, so he's saying that, look, God does not refer to the angels as his sons. He didn't call them son. He did not refer to them as son. He did not call himself their father. So, yeah, there's a special class of his creation. And that relationship of father-son is not between God and his angels. That's reserved for us. Praise the Lord for that. But what did he say about his angels? Well, and of the angels, he said, maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he said, thy throne, O God, is forever, a scepter of thy righteousness. A scepter of righteousness, a scepter of thy throne, you know, and so on. Now, so still comparing, you know, the ministry of angels. Now, he said, again, you jump down to verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit thou on my right hand, till I've made your enemies thy footstool? Angels don't inherit that kind of, you know, thing from the Lord, you know, what the Lord will give and say, hey, sit over here and put everything under your feet. Never said that to angels. You know, said that to the Son and our sons that will inherit glory with him. You know, but what are the angels then? Said in verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them shall be heirs of salvation? So this is the, you know, role of angels when it relates to us. The ministering for, that means on behalf of, not exactly ministering to, but, you know, sometimes they do minister to, but mostly minister for, which is on our behalf. They have orders. They are sent forth by God to do certain things. They have their orders. I'll talk about that today. And they have their duties too. There are many scriptures that show us, you know, how, you know, we see the angels in action. We see some different categories, different classes of angels. One role they have definitely when it relates to their relationship with their service, worship of God, is, well, they have a priority to worship the Lord. In the book of Revelation chapter 7, we see in verses 11 and 12, you know, a lot of angels, you know, say all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. Now, these are the angels saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. He's still the God of the angels too. You know, they can't call him Father, but they call him God. And so they worship God. That's one of their primary roles. Secondarily, they attend to God's business. You know, God's business, either locally or globally, you know, they attend to God's business. Some of them are called watchers or holy ones. We see in the book of Daniel chapter 4, talk about the watchers, the decree of the holy ones. Let's read. This is part of the story of what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. And I'm sure you remember that story, but I'm only going to read part of it from verse 13. Of Daniel chapter 4, I saw in the visions of my head, right, upon, you know, my bed, he said, and behold, a watcher and an holy one came down from heaven. I saw that angel, referred to as watcher and a holy one here, cried aloud and said, hew down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, and scatter his fruit. You can see the angel bringing, giving order here, bringing judgment, you know, and against this man who was so arrogant and so proud and thought he had done everything by himself. And they said, Lord, let his heart be changed to a, from a man to a beast, but let there be, you know, left to him something, a stump, because the Lord knew he would bring him back. But we see that, you know, the angel was used here to pronounce this judgment against Nebuchadnezzar. They're called here watchers and holy one. Well, watchers can mean a lot of things. You know, what are they watching? He said, this matter is by the decree of the watchers and by the demand of the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. Now, so these watchers and these holy ones, there is something that is driving them. You know, behind their actions, it is so that people may know the living, not the dead, the living, they shall praise the Lord. And the people should know that, you know, the kingdom belongs to the Lord. So you can see they want people to know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. And they have their orders. Make sure that that happens. And when anybody gets out of line, you know, they can do that. You know, Nebuchadnezzar got out of line and they did that. You know, in Acts chapter 12, Herod got out of line and they did that. You know, in Acts chapter 12, we see, you know, Herod stood up, the Herod that was there at the time. He stood up and gave an oration before the people. And everybody said, oh my goodness, you know, this man has spoke with the voice of a God, you know, and he was like that. And yeah, he, you know, and he gave not the glory to God. And the Bible said, well, the angel of the Lord struck him, you know, and the worms ate him up, struck him on the head, you know. So these angels, some of them, a particular class of angels that are charged with making sure that people, the kingdom of men, know that the kingdom belongs to the Lord. And if they get out of line at times, God may just allow them to do certain things. You know, called watchers and holy ones. You know, and they did that in the case of Nebuchadnezzar. They did that in the case of Herod in chapter 12 of, you know, Acts of the Apostles. Now, one thing also was that these angels that are called, watchers, well, what is it exactly that they watch for? You know, so let's talk about it. You know, the Lord said that in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, he says, the eyes of the Lord go or run to and fro all across the earth, right? Or show the Lord's strong on behalf of those whose hearts, you know, are perfect before the Lord. Well, yeah, perfect before the Lord. And why does he say the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth? Remember, they're called watchers. Now, the eyes of the Lord, God doesn't need to run to and fro, you know. You know, don't have to see anything. He already knows everything, even before it happened. He knows it all. But he likes to engage these angels, you know, keep them engaged. So as giving certain angels charge, remember, they have their orders. Certain angels, he has given them charge. They go back and forth and they come and report things to the Lord. They're called watchers and holy ones. One time the Lord said, look, the cry of this city of Sodom and Gomorrah are coming to my ears. Well, the angels that were watching, they're reporting. It's too much evil down there. God knows, but he likes the angels to, you know, feel useful. You know, so he gives them these orders. Now, Don't anybody ever think that the Lord has to go back and forth in order to know anything. The whole universe is inside his belly. He knows everything already. Before there was even anything to know, he already knows it. But, you know, that's how he engages his angels. You know, so they, the eyes of the Lord that run to and fro, they are those watchers. They run to and fro and they come and they look. You know, they have to make sure that things are going well for God's elect. Sometimes they can bring judgment. Sometimes they can do certain things and they come and report to the Lord. You know, so those are the eyes of the Lord. Well, let's see some of their duties and some of the things they did here. In Zechariah chapter 1, we see in verses 8 to 11, we can read what some of these watchers came to do, how they went back and forth, and then came and reported to the Lord. He said, I saw by night, and behold, a man riding on a red horse and stood among the myrtle trees, you know, in the bottom, and so forth. And he asked him, you know, what are these? And the angel that talked to you, see, they also can bring revelation. We see that the angel of the Lord brought revelation to Daniel, say, I'm sent to give the understanding, you know, and so forth. I talked with him. Said, well, and he said, well, you know, these are they whom the Lord has sent. Remember, they have their orders. The Lord is one that sends them. You know, these angels are they that whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro throughout the earth. These are like the eyes of the Lord. Run to and fro. Same expression. And then you say, well, what, hey, you know, one of them asked him, where are you guys coming from? He said, well, we have walked to and fro from the earth, throughout the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. You know, that's their job. They go, these particular classes, angels, they come and report things to the Lord. But I want you to notice the realm in which these angels operate sometimes. They operate from a higher dimension, you know, where they can see the glory of God. They're looking at something beyond, you know, just the, you know, normal realms. Because they're coming here to report that the earth is sitting still and is at rest. Well, I don't think the earth was at rest, but that's what they saw. They saw a higher purpose. And they saw things, you know, beyond what the human eyes could see. I mean, there might have been trouble in the earth at that time, but they saw rest. They saw stillness. It's kind of like in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord in the year that King Uzzah died. I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. He saw this vision of the Lord coming in there with his entourage. You know, sometimes they accompany the Lord too, like that. You know, entourage. You know, and he said, what I saw was amazing. I mean, I just saw them going back and forth. You know, he saw these creatures. They were going back and forth. They were saying, holy, holy, holy. And, you know, call them seraphims. You know, also angels. There are different class. You know, there are other ones called cherubims. The seraphims, they were there. He described what he saw, six wings and different things. With two, he covered his face. With two, he flew. With two, he did this and that. And what were they saying? Holy, holy, holy. You know, so again, demonstrating their worship. You know, the Lord God of hosts is holy. They said, the whole earth is full of his glory. Wow. The whole earth was full of wickedness. You know, but these angels operating in a dimension where they were could walk in the glory and see the glory of God despite the corruption that was in the earth. Now, this tells us something too, that we can elevate our walk with God to the point where we're dwelling and seeing his glory, even though there's corruption all around. These angels are reporting, you know, that the whole earth was full of glory of God. The other ones were reporting that the earth was still and was at rest. Yet we know there was trouble everywhere. And yet we know there was evil everywhere. The glory of God was not everywhere like that. But, you know, that's what they saw. That's the realm in which they operate. And so, well, everything's cool. You know, they got their things in position. They're not dealing at this level down here. They're dealing at a higher level. And they can deal with that. And they probably kicked out some things from there, you know, to make sure that things are going. You know, so this is what they do. Some of them do. Seraphims, they worship the Lord. Cherubims, they surround the throne. Angels are sent forth. Do all of these things, you know. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 11 also shows us, you know, some more things that, you know, the angels declare and what they do. Now, in this particular chapter, you know, we see, you know, let me read from verse 11 is really where I'm going. Answered the angel, I was talking to him, he said, who are these two olive trees upon the right side, a candlestick on the left? You know, and he answered him and said, well, you know, what be these two olive branches that, you know, supply his oil and so forth to the candlesticks? And he answered, you know, he said, well, you know, said, knowest thou not what these are? I said, no, Lord. He said, well, these are the two anointed ones. I stand by the Lord of the whole earth. And so some of these angels are also called anointed ones. The Lord has sent them forth, you know. And the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro is also described in verse 10 of Zechariah 4. For who has despised the day of small things? They shall rejoice and see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. Yeah, there were some specific, powerful seven angels that the Lord had put in place. And I call them the eyes of the Lord. Same thing that he said in 2 Chronicles 16 and 9. These angels are called the eyes of the Lord. Because they go back and forth and come and tell him things. It's not that he needs them to do that, but he engages them to do that. You know, so he puts them in different places. Okay? Some are worshiping, some are doing, some are going back and forth, some are reporting things. We're going to see some more things when we come into our realm, you know, of what these angels do, you know. So, you know, they watch over also, some of them watch over God's eternal purpose. And then some of them, it's not every one of them that's assigned to do the same things. Some of them, they understand deep mysteries God put in their hands, like Gabriel, you know. And he told Daniel, he said, look, there is none that holdeth with me in these things, you know, except, you know, Michael, your prince. You know, I understand this, and I come to give you understanding and so on. They have purpose that God have put in their hands, and their purpose sometimes is to watch over, you know, and help God's eternal purpose along. We see in the book of Matthew chapter 2. Let's read an example of that. You know, many places in the Bible that give us examples of this. In Matthew chapter 2, there's an example, you know, of the angel of the Lord that came to Joseph in a dream. You know, he was minded to put away Elizabeth, when she was pregnant, out of wedlock, you might say. But you know the story. And she wasn't messing around. It was the Holy Ghost that came upon her. You know, Gabriel announced it to her. And so when this man was about to do something, you know, and say, well, forget this woman. The angel came to him in a dream. And this dream of what the angel told him was actually to bring into alignment something else that a prophet had said many, many years before then. He said, you know, arise and take the young child and flee into Egypt. Now, this was the second time. First time the Lord told him, you know, don't be, you know, Don't be afraid. Take your wife. Go ahead and take him. So he did. Take her. This time around, this is one area where the Lord was using the angel of the Lord and a dream to protect the life of the baby. See, this is that story. And in that time, we know that, you know, Herod was wanting to kill all the children, you know, because he had heard that a prince or a king was born. That's treason. In their domain, could be only one king, and that king was Caesar. So anybody else that is pronounced as king would be treason. They had to kill him. Kill all the children because they didn't know who they were, who this particular one was. So kill all of them from this time forth. Kill them. But the angel of the Lord appeared, you know, to these ones that said, we saw this star and we've rejoiced and so forth, the wise men. Angel of the Lord told them, don't go back to Herod. Don't tell him anything. Because he said, you know, come and tell me. And when you have seen him, I can worship the child too. But he lied. The angel of the Lord appeared to them and warned them not to go and return to him. So see how providence through the angel of the Lord protecting the life of the child. And providence again coming to Joseph, telling him, take the child, run to Egypt, and so forth, that he might be fulfilled, that which was spoken by Hosea the prophet. Now, Hosea the prophet said he gave a double prophetic declaration here, you know, so this is one of the prophecies that have a dual meaning. And this is what he said in Hosea chapter 11. He said, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Now, we know that literally happened in the story in Exodus. That literally happened. So, but in Matthew is referring to this same scripture, you know, as what Joseph did in taking Mary and Jesus to Egypt as fulfilling this same scripture again. So we see twice fulfillment of this same scripture. He said that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by the prophet, out of Egypt have I called my son. Well, Jesus was going to be called out of Egypt. So, you know, circumstances had to happen that would lead to his going to Egypt so that he would be brought out of Egypt in the fulfillment of that scripture. It's a double prophetic declaration there. Fulfilled in Israel, fulfilled in Jesus. And the angel of the Lord participated in that, guiding that providence to pass, coming to Joseph in a dream and telling him what to do and fulfilling that ancient prophecy of Jesus must go to Africa. Praise the Lord. Jesus visited Africa, you know, way before many places even existed. And so we see how the angel of the Lord was instrumental in that provision, you know, to say that Christ would come out of there. Praise the Lord. And of course he did. And when Herod had died, well, the angel of the Lord, you know, came back to Joseph again. He said, look, stay there until I bring you word again, for there are those that will seek the life of the child to destroy him. You know, so he did as the angel commanded. He took Mary and he took Jesus and, if you know, fled away to Egypt and stayed there for a long time. And then later on, you know, the angel of the Lord came to him again in verse 19 of Matthew 2 and said, arise and take the young child and his mother and go back to the land of Israel, for they are now dead that sought the life of the child to kill him. You know, so you can see how the angel of the Lord was participating in protecting God's eternal purpose. Jesus was in that, you know, eternal purpose, was the center of that purpose. And the angel of the Lord was used to protect his physical life by coming there, giving instructions to Joseph what to do to protect the little child Jesus. was helpless at the time. I was just a baby. You know, but the Lord used the angels to protect his purpose. Now, there are many times that the Lord used angels to announce even his purpose. In the book of Luke chapter 1, you know, which I made reference to already, you saw the angel Gabriel, you know, came to announce many things. You know, first, you know, to Zechariah, and then later on to Mary. The angel visited Zechariah and told him about, you know, his wife getting a baby, who would become John the Baptist. And then later on, the angel visited Mary and told her also about the role that she would play to fulfill Isaiah 7 verse 14, which say, behold, a virgin shall conceive. And when she couldn't, you know, believe how this thing would be, he explained it to her. And he told her also that, look, even your cousin Elizabeth, who was called barren, is now 6 months pregnant. But there shall nothing be impossible with God. So, you know, the angel of the Lord was used in these cases, you know, to announce God's purpose or an element of his eternal purpose. And we know that John the Baptist was directly in line with that. He was the one chosen to be the forerunner of the Christ, and Christ himself was the center of it all. But there were angels that are participated in all of that. God dispatched some specific angels, you know, Gabriel, he had charge, you know, in those things, you know, to bring forth, you know, those revelations and, you know, explanations to people that were drawn in to be participants in that purpose. You know, so the Lord told Zechariah through the angel. The Lord told Mary through the angel. You know, so you can read it in Luke chapter 1, verses 11 to 17, and also verses 26 to 38. So we know these stories. And so these are some of the things that angels do. Now, let's see what angels do, though, for God's elect. Now, we've seen what angels do in the realm of God's purpose, eternal purpose. We've seen what angels do in worship. We've seen what angels do in carrying out, you know, some judgments and pronunciations at times. You know, there was even, you know, in Genesis 18 and 19 and so forth, the Lord came with two angels. These were possibly some of the two angels that had reported to him, you know, that of the iniquity going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, the cry of the place has come to me, and I'm going to check it out. So he come down and stood there with Abraham, sent the two angels over. Go check it out some more and see. Is this thing still so, as we have heard? So they said, well, yeah. You know, they went and checked it out. You know the story. And they would later bring destruction. They would also later pull Lot out of that place. So they were sent, had the dual mission, not only to destroy the place, but also to rescue Lot and his family. Angels were used in those dimensions. You can read all those stories. I don't really want to spend a whole lot of time reading them because most people know those stories. You know, these angels were there. They gave instructions to Lot to get out of there. And even when he wasn't getting out of there fast enough, grabbed him by the hand, he said, the Lord being merciful unto him. So the angels of God in this particular story were used to even, you know, demonstrate and commit and show us the commitment of God's mercy in our lives. God was committed to delivering Lot and his family, perhaps because of Abraham. You know, and so even when he lingered, Lot's heart was drawn towards all of the stuff going down there. And he didn't recognize, you know, at first he was a preacher of righteousness. Afterwards, he started to blend into the whole thing, and he really didn't want to leave the place anymore. God had to yank him out of there. And the angel of the Lord was used not only to bring the destruction upon that place, but also to yank him out of that place. Give him instruction, flee to the mountains, don't look back. Of course, we know what happened to Lot's wife when she looked back. But you see the role that the angels played in all these things. Angels always have something to do on their assignment that God sent them on. God is the one that sent these angels to do all these things. Now, let's look at some things that angels have done in the realm, other realms, you know, like strengthening and comforting. And, you know, we've seen how they even brought instructions in a dream. We've seen how they brought, how the angel of the Lord brought revelation to Daniel. He said, well, you know, I've come to give you understanding, you know, and so on. So, you know, they brought understanding, they brought revelation, they brought deep secrets, sometimes, you know, and, sometimes they bring strengthening. Praise the Lord. We've seen stories in the Bible, you know, like Elijah, you know, when he was running away from Jezebel, you know, the angel of the Lord, you know, brought him food, you know, and so on to strengthen him. And told him that this journey that's ahead of you is very long. So I woke him up, he ate, slept again for several hours, woke him up again, and he ate again. I said, well, you know, this will strengthen you. It's a long journey. And so the angel of the Lord was present to do those things. And they do all these things. The angel of the Lord was reported to have strengthened Christ. You can read that particular one in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 11. This was, you know, when Christ had gone through, you know, the temptation, Christ being baptized, he was led by the Holy Spirit to go into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil and so forth, you know. And after Jesus defeated the devil with the word, we're told in verse 11 of Matthew 4, the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. In this particular case, they did minister unto him. They ministered strength to him. Remember, he had been 40 days fasting, and at this time he was physically weak. The angels came and ministered unto him. So we see that that did happen in the scriptures. You know, in the book of Luke chapter 22, we read also of some things, some roles that angels also, you know, play at times. You know, when Jesus was in the so-called Garden of Gethsemane praying, he was praying. He was really going for that pearl of great price, Bible tells us. And the way he was praying, he was agonizing in prayer until the sweat coming out of his head was like great drops of blood, we're told. And he prayed about, and you know what he was praying about, you know, Lord, if this be thy will, let this cup be removed from me, because he knew that he was going to be separated from the Father. You know, to become sin, you have to be separated from God, because God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And since sin is darkness, he would have to be separated. He knew all these things and he dreaded the moment. That was what he dreaded. It wasn't anything else. You know, dreaded that more so than anything else. And he'd never been separated from the Father. He said, I came forth and proceeded out of God. John 8 and 42. I've always been with the Father. Now, when he was praying all these prayers, the Bible says, there came an angel from him, unto him from heaven, strengthened him. This is Luke chapter 22 and verse 43. And he prayed more, you know, from the strength that he got. Prayed even more until he was sweating like blood coming out of his head. And the angels also knew that, you know, the purpose that he had to go through. They came and God dispatched. Angels sent him. Jesus even held some of the angels at bay one time, you know, when he was in front of Pilate and all these people, you know, saying, look, because the angels were ready to come and charge and fight. And he said, look, I can presently call and my father would send legions, but I'm not going to do it. But for this purpose, I was born. I got to go through this thing. So he could have called and God would have sent angels to destroy them all. Actually, it was just a metaphor. The only one angel was sufficient to destroy them all. I mean, we've seen the stories of what the angel of the Lord did marvelously in the Old Testament. I mean, the story of Hezekiah versus Rabshakeh and Sennacherib, you know, how they came to chide and to mock them and say, look, it's better surrender to us, you know, otherwise we're going to destroy you like we destroyed all the other nations, you know. And you know the story. It's in Kings, it's in Isaiah. But in the book of Isaiah, we are told that, you know, the Lord promised that he was going to defend the city for his own name. Well, and when Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, challenged the Lord, basically he said, look, you know, these people that are boasting, Sennacherib, Rabshakeh, that are boasting that they cast the gods of these nations into the fire, of a truth, they did cast them into the fire because there were no gods, he said. You know, you can read all of that in Isaiah chapter 37. And he said, but, you know, you are the God. Now, these gods they cast into the fire, they were wood and stone. Therefore, they've destroyed them and burnt them. He said, well, you are the Lord, though. Say, now, therefore, show, see, verse 20 of Isaiah 30. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, you know, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou alone. And I've often told people that, look, you know, if you really want to get God to stand up and fight on your cause, make it God's fight. This is what Hezekiah did here. He made it about the name and the reputation of the Lord. Not exactly so that our wives will not become widows and so that our children will not become fatherless or not so that our cities may not be destroyed, but so that the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the God. When you pray like that, well, you know, and when he prayed like that, well, you know, the angel of the Lord, he stood up, you know, and the angel of the Lord went in the camp of the Assyrians. Yeah, angel of the Lord, just one. That's all they needed. In verse 36, he went to the camp of the Assyrians and slew in one night 185,000. You know, so the angel of the Lord, he could do that. So what Jesus was saying about legions was just metaphoric. I mean, one angel can come in there and destroy everybody. You know, we've seen it happen. One angel overnight slew 185,000. They were all, in the morning, they were all dead corpses. Because the angel of the Lord, he can do that. Praise the Lord. So we've seen how the angel of the Lord can do all these things. Protect God's people, fight for God's name, you know, in this story we just read. And they can also bring messages from God. Daniel chapter 9, verses 21 to 23, the angel told him, you know, I have come to give you strength and understanding. You know that Daniel, you might remember the story. He was praying. You know, he began to read the book of Jeremiah that the time, 70 years were determined, you know, upon for desolations of Jerusalem and all the people, the captivity and so on. And he began to pray. When he saw that he was getting near, he began to pray, you know. And then, of course, you know, the angel Gabriel, whom he had seen, he said, the angel Gabriel, who I had seen at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. This is Daniel chapter 9. you know, and verses 20 and 21. And he informed me and talked to me and said, "Oh, Daniel, I am now come to give thee skill and understanding." Well, so you see that the angel of the Lord can do that too. And bring messages, bring revelation, and so forth. Give him understanding concerning the things that he was, you know, been praying about. And this so-called Daniel's 70th week of prophecy that we are always famous and people talk about in end time messages. It was the angel that gave him that prophecy. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Finish the transgression, make an end of sins, make reconciliation for iniquity, bring in everlasting righteousness, and seal up the vision and the prophecy and anoint the most holy. Know therefore, I understand. You know, so it was the angel that was telling. He wasn't, this one was not exactly a dream. You know, an angel visited him plainly, telling him these things. There are many other things the angel told him. He said, "I sat down, I was confused and amazed for days. I couldn't understand these things." You know, somehow he explained, somebody said, "Well, go thy way and seal it up." But it was an angel that was giving him all these visions and revelations and so on. We see also that angels, you know, can be connected to answering of prayers. In the book of Daniel chapter 10, we read a story of something that Daniel had been, you know, praying about. He said, look, and behold, you know, Daniel chapter 10, let me find verse 12. He said, and behold, a hand touched me and set me upon my knees and said, "Daniel, thou art a man greatly beloved. Understand the words that I speak unto you and stand upright, for I am now sent unto you." So you can see in all of these things, it's God that sent them. They had their orders. Sent unto you, you know, and so forth. And he said, well, and the man was afraid. He said, well, don't be afraid. You know, from the day that you set your heart to understand and chastening thyself before God, your words were heard. You know, and I was dispatched, see, to bring some understanding to you. But, you know, I ran into some trouble along the way. You know, so he ran into trouble for 21 days. He was got into a fight with the Prince of Persia. There were those fallen angels that were over some of those regions, and they wouldn't let him come through. You know, fighting there, you know, and so on. You know, finally, you know, well, he got a breakthrough. At the end, said, you know, Prince of Persia withstood me, but at the end, Michael, one of the chief princes, you know, came to help me. And so now I'm come to give you understanding of what shall befall your people at the latter end. So, you know, angels can carry these messages and give these prophetic revelations of things that will happen in the end as God will send them, you know. And they are connected to answering of prayer sometimes. You know, an angel was used to answer Daniel's prayers here. Fast forward to the book of Acts chapter 10. You say, well, that was in the Old Testament. Well, this one was in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 10, an angel was sent to Cornelius. You know, Cornelius was a man that was devout. You know, I mean, he was of the Roman army and so forth, but he was kind to the Jews. And he was a devout man that served the Lord with prayers and gave a lot of alms and helped the people quite a bit. And so finally, one day, the Lord said an angel to him, told him, well, you know, your prayers are heard and your alms have not come before the Lord to speak for you. Yeah, so the angel was sent to him, show him what he should do, how that salvation might come to his house. Praise the Lord. So that was an angel that came to him, spoke to, you know, Cornelius and told him what to do. And of course, sent for Peter and all of that. So it was an angel of the Lord that came to him and spoke to him in that place. Acts chapter 10, verses 1 to 6. The angel of the Lord can also fight for God's people. You know, I showed you that already in Isaiah It's also a beautiful rendition of that story in 2 Kings chapter 19. You can see how the angel of the Lord, you know, can do these things, you know. 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 35, you know, same thing, you know, that we read before. The angel of the Lord come out there and slay hundreds of thousands of people in one night. The angel of the Lord can do all these things. Now, the angel of the Lord also sometimes giving charge to watch over God's people. Psalm 34 and verse 7 tells us, the angel of the Lord encamps around them that fear the Lord. You know, and what do they do in that encampment? Well, you know, talk about having a bodyguard, you know, or your own secret service detail. That's right. You heard it. You know, have your own secret service detail. You know, if you are, you know, a world leader like the President of the United States has secret service, but even his children, you know, wherever they go, they have their own secret service detail, you know. Even when they're little, you know, you know, when they're little, even when they go to school, their secret service detail go to school with them. You know, sometimes your children, they don't, you know, they don't want the, you know, the secret service to follow them around. Sometimes they want to even go and do bad things. They don't want the secret service to follow them around. But the secret service say, I got my orders. They say, look, I'm just going to go over here and party with my friends, you know, just, you don't need to say anything. No, I got my orders. I'm going to follow you. I'm not going to let you out of my sight and do anything. You know, you can't tell the Secret Service anything. They have their orders. I just don't do, you know, even sometimes the Secret Service, you know, and give orders to the President of the United States because they have their orders by their, you know, by the Constitution and their charge, you know, in order to protect the United States President, the Secret Service can step in there and give him orders at times. Come with us, man. I'm going to take you to the bunker. He can't say no. They just grab him and drag him along because they have their orders to protect him. You know, if there's any imminent danger and he's trying to be obstinate or stubborn, and so they just drag him. You know, they're going to protect him no matter what he thinks, because, you know, that's the one time that they have that power. You know, that's their charge. Protect him. And they can do it. You know, so, and, you know, those who are his children as well, you know, have their secret service detail. They follow them about no matter where they go. Say, no, I'm not letting you out of my sight. So the angel of the Lord, they carpet around those that fear him. Now, you know, the Lord, may the Lord be with me and so forth, you know, and so, that's a prayer we pray, but it's really not a necessary prayer. The prayer that we should pray is, may the Lord grant me the grace to have a heart that fears the Lord. That's the prayer that we need to pray, because it is automatic when you fear the Lord, according to Psalm 34 and verse 7, that the angel of the Lord will encamp around you. You don't need to pray for that one. You need to pray that your heart be right before the Lord. And if you do that, the angel of the Lord automatically around you, protect you. Praise the Lord. In fact, one time Jesus made a statement. He said in John 8:29, he said, look, you know, I'm not alone. My Father that sent me is with me. Why? Because I do always those things that are pleasing inside. You know, so Jesus didn't need to pray that the Father should be with him. All he needed was do the things that are pleasing in the Father's sight. You know, and said, because I do the things that are pleasing in my Father's sight. He said, well, therefore he's always with me. So really, ladies and gentlemen, let's change our prayer a little bit up today. Change it up a little. You know, let's do like Jesus. You know, let's do. Listen to what Jesus said. Let me read it to you. I know I'm going fast with these scriptures. You know, he that is sent me is with me. John 8:29. The Father has not let me alone. For, that means because, I do always those things that please him. So that's the reason the Father is with him. Because Jesus is always doing the things that please the Father. So Jesus didn't need to pray that the Father should be with him. All he needed to do was do the things that please the Father. So in the same way, you don't need to pray. I don't need to pray that the angel of the Lord should be with me, or, you know, the Father should be with me. If I do those things that are pleasing to the Father, if I fear the Lord and my heart is right before him, it is automatic. God has given his angels. Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. Give his angels charge over thee. So they have their orders. Give his angels charge over thee to do certain things. You know, praise the Lord. And the angels, I'm going to tell you more about the orders that the angels have. That'll be tomorrow. I'm going to tell you more about it. But let me give you this sneak preview. Some of you might have heard me say before, you know, the Lord loves to speak to me in parables because I love parables. So he knows it. So he shows me these things. They're like parables. He tells them to me. You know, it's like I'm seeing them. I may not be seeing them with my open eye, but I'm seeing them. And the Lord's just telling me these things, you know, and I'm just see, it's like a parables. And he just show it to me. So, you know, these angels of God, they are, you know, they have their orders. You can't make them do something different than their orders. Praise the Lord. You know, one time, I mean, you know, this, you know, this Gideon fellow, I mean, Joshua rather, and Gideon, both of them, they were men of war, you know, we're talking about, you know, the captain of the Lord's host, he said, you know, a soldier is called a captain when he's over, you know, like a battalion or whatever, you know, and the Lord has his own captains, you know, of his own hosts too. And we saw, there was a story we saw in the Bible in Joshua chapter 5. This Joshua was a man of war. You know, so quite unlike Moses, his own charge was different. You know, it was always ready for battle. So now, when one day Joshua saw somebody standing with a drawn sword in his hand, oh, he's saying, you know, look, you know, Joshua is ready to engage. So let's read this story. Joshua chapter 5. We read this story from verse 13 or so, because this Joshua man, you come up against him with a sword, you better be ready. He's not messing around. He's ready to fight. And so he saw someone, you know, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, Joshua chapter 5 verse 13, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, he saw a man. It was a man that he saw. Well, you know, he was an angel of the Lord. You'll find out here in a minute. He saw a man standing against him with a sword drawn in his hand. So Joshua, you know, Joshua is not going to back down from anybody. You have a sword, let's play. You know, Joshua is not backing down. So he goes up to the man and throws out a challenge and asks him a question. Tell me, what's your purpose? Are you here for us, or are you here for our adversaries? Let me know right now, you know, because if you're, you know, here on the opposite side, well, let's find out and see what you got. So this man's ready to fight. But look at the answer of this man, the other man that he's looking at. See how he answered Joshua. Now, Joshua asked a question, two parts. Are thou for us, or for our adversaries? Now, let's find out the answer. This man said, no. Nay to both questions. You know, I have my orders, is what this man is saying, this angel. Not for you, not against your adversaries, not whatever. I have my orders. That's what he said. I am come as a captain of the Lord of hosts. You know, and sometimes we say, oh, you know, the Lord is with us. You know, the Lord is on my side against my enemies. You know, sometimes he lets us think like that. But these angels, they have their orders. Now, those orders may turn out to be for your benefit, but it's not you. It's God that sent them. And they have their orders. And this man said, I came as a captain of the Lord's host. Not for you, not for your adversaries, but I have my orders. Praise the Lord. One day the Lord showed me the meaning of this thing. I said, oh my goodness. Because I would have thought, he said, yeah, I'm on your side against your enemies. And so he said, no such thing. He said, no. You know, I have my orders, my own agenda. You can use it to your benefit if you understand how to use it. But these angels have their agenda. They have their orders. I'm going to tell you more tomorrow by the grace of God how to use their orders that God has given them to your advantage. And you can't order angels around. Now, evil angels, yes, can command demons, cast them out and so forth. Not these other angels that have never left their estate. They take their orders directly from the throne. Not, they don't do anything unless there's an unction from that throne. And they have their orders. And nobody's going to tell them anything. You know. So, you know, sometimes people in error, they say, I'm going to send an angel. I'm going to do all of this. Well, you know, God humans that, you know, and so forth. But in reality, they have their orders. They are sent to do certain things. And they are in charge of certain things. Whatever they are sent by God to do, that's what they do. Can't tell them otherwise. Now, if your purpose is in alignment with God's purpose that he sent them to do, then it looks as if, you know, well, they are doing something for you. Well, yeah, it is God that sent them to do it. They are ministering spirits sent forth by God. Minister on your behalf, not you. You can't tell them to do anything. I have my orders. Said, praise the Lord. So they have their orders, you know. And I'll tell you some more about it tomorrow too. And Lord showed me the angels that say, well, do something. You know, and they were just standing there. Won't you do something? I said, well, I have my orders. And his orders were very simple, you know. And I'll tell you more about this tomorrow. Psalm 103 verse 20. There are some other angels that have orders. And we're going to go into details of this tomorrow by the grace of God. How God can send these angels to do incredible things. They can also, you know, deliver from situations that are just impossible. In Daniel chapter 6 verse 22, Daniel said the Lord has sent his angel, closed the mouth of the lion. It was the angel of the Lord that did that. In Acts chapter 12, it was an angel of the Lord that delivered, you know, Peter out of prison and so on and so forth. And we'll talk more about these things. But in Psalm 103 verse 20, and I'm going to expand on this tomorrow by the grace of God. These angels, they have a specific channel. There's a class of angels. It's not every kind of angel. But there's a class of angels. You know, some of them are to worship, some are to be around the throne, some are to do this and do this, like we've said. But there's a particular category. They're called warriors. You know, they are warriors, you know. They are sent for, you know, to do certain things. Yeah, you know, but what do they do? Well, what is their characteristic? They excel in strength. Say, praise the Lord, you, his host. Ye angels that excel in strength. So these ones, you know, God has given them charge. You see, what do? They do his commandments, not your commandment. They do his commandments. That's right. They have their orders. I'm emphasizing that so much because some people think they just command angels around. You know, they have their orders. They do his commandments. But one of those commandments, the one that is critical for you that we're going to talk about and expand on tomorrow, is that God has given certain angels warriors that excel in strength. They're warriors. They're superior warriors. God has given them commandments, you know, and the commandment is to hearken to the voice of God's word out of your mouth. And that's it. You know, if you can figure out, you know, and they will be there, you know, God already gave them commandment. You know, you can't do anything until they speak my word. That's it. But when they speak my word and they believe it, you go down there and you speak to it. That's right. I'm going to show you examples of it tomorrow. We'll talk more about that. God has given them those commandments. They do his commandments. You know, so if you want to really command angels around, well, you know, not directly. All you got to do is speak God's word. If you speak God's word, you might literally or figuratively, whichever way you want it, be commanding angels. Because they do his commandments. They only do his commandments. That's all they do. And those commandments, when the words out of your mouth align with God's words, the angels are giving orders to listen to that. When you see, you know, sometimes the angels come to the Lord and say, Lord, how long? You know, I mean, they're ready to go and do something. Because God told them, gave them a charge to go and do something for you. But see, God has principles too. You know, guided by principles. God said, well, yeah, you know, but, you know, they're not releasing my word yet. So they really can't do it. And then the devil comes and says something to them. So don't worry about it. They'll come around. Yeah. Angels come to the Lord. Devil comes to the Lord with accusations. Angels come to the Lord and say, hey, you know, can we go and do stuff? I say, yeah, but only when I release my word. Yeah, so look, emotions and stuff like that don't move God. I mean, it's great, you know, but that's not what moves God. What moves God is his word out of your mouth. That's what moves God. And the commandments have already gone out for the angels. When you hear my word out of their mouth, and you go down there and you see to it that it comes to pass what they are believing, what they have released. And so they have their orders. And you can see the angel standing at times, folding his arms and doing nothing. He say, well, do something. And he say, well, no, I have my orders. Well, what are your orders? Well, I have my orders. And he won't tell you. He will just tell you, I have my orders. And the Lord showed me that. And you say, well, so get up and do something. He say, well, no. I have my orders. So what are your orders then? I have my orders. I mean, it's like the man is just programmed to say, I have my orders. And no matter what I try to do to get him to do something, he said, well, I have my orders. Okay, fine. I have to go figure out what his orders were. You know, and now I have figured it out. After some years, I've figured it out how to get these angels to do my bidding. Not by telling them anything directly, but by me figuring out the word of God and releasing that word that causes the angels to move into action. Well, that's it for today's lesson. Don't miss part two of this by the grace of God. We will do part two tomorrow. I want to go deeper into this portion of it and to show you how exactly it works in that realm. And once you figure it out, you know, it's going to change the trajectory of your faith. See, so there are some things we struggle with and so forth because you don't understand the power that God has, you know, invested in you and the charge that he has given certain angels over you. Because that power is in his word. That's in your mouth. Figure out how to use it. A lot of things will come into alignment. Praise the Lord. Well, that's it for today. What we talked about today is cover, you know, some of the roles of the angels, starting from worship, you know, watching over God's eternal purpose, bringing judgment, sometimes bringing revelation, protecting, you know, acting like providence sometimes. Providence, you know, protecting and guarding the destiny of God for your life and the purpose of God. Angels can do that. Strengthen people, bring revelation, do all of these things. but most importantly for us now, you know, how we can collaborate and get the angels to work for us. We'll figure that out tomorrow by the grace of God. Father, I thank you, Lord, for today. We give you, Lord, the praise, give you the glory. I thank you for this word, and I pray that it encourages the people to know that we are not alone. God has given his angels charge over us, for as much as our hearts, you know, are perfect before him, as long as we fear the Lord and we do those things that are pleasing in our sight, then in his sight, then we're not alone. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.